Albert Hammond Jr. mit Far Away Truths. 15 Uhr und 11 Minuten. Ihr hört die Morning Show am Mittwoch. Nein, am Donnerstagnachmittag. Ich bin so verwirrt. Mensch. Bei mir ist er jetzt, der 79 in L.A. geborene Künstler, den man natürlich auch als Gitarristen der Band The Strokes kennt. Er spielt am Abend im Musik und Frieden, um dort seine neueste Solo-LP Francis Trouble zu präsentieren. Wir quatschen hier ein bisschen über diese bisher persönlichste Veröffentlichung von Albert Hammond Jr. Wir sprechen also über im Mutterleib verstorbene Zwillingsgeschwister. Wir werden den verstorbenen Psychotherapeuten des Musikers nochmal vorstellen, der sehr wichtig war für Albert Hammond Jr. in den letzten Jahren. Wir finden heraus, ob diese persönliche Platte auch innerhalb der Familie diskutiert wurde und besprechen noch vieles mehr. Zunächst aber nochmal hello and welcome, Albert Hammond Jr.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you today?
Great. Cool. It's a really beautiful day today.
So. Yeah, it's hot.
It's very hot.
Where are you coming from today, actually?
We drove last night from a little outside of Prague.
We did a
festival called Rock for People.
Wow, and that was fun?
Yeah, it was great. If you'd be surprised, it was even warmer there.
Oh, yeah, crazy. I mean,
it was like a desert.
The whole weather concept has been put on its... I mean, it's crazy what's happening nowadays. But that's another topic. Let's talk about the record. Solo album number 4 is out. Your most personal record up to date, Francis Trouble. I mean, it's a really interesting story behind that record. You were raised as a single child, maybe thinking about the fact that it would be nice to have a brother or a sister once in a while, because that's what happened to me.
I definitely did, for
only
sure.
child as well. And every few years, we were like, oh man, why don't I have an older brother?
That's
because that was the craziest thing that one can wish for. But I mean, you were raised as a single child.
Yeah, you never really wish for a younger sibling,
no.
do you?
You wish for the impossible.
Yeah.
Only the impossible. But I mean, you did find out about the fact that you had a twin brother who unfortunately died in the belly of a mother before you were born and before he was able to be born. When did you hear about that story? And more interestingly, when did you think that you should be able to use that story as a source of inspiration?
Well, I found out when I was 36. My aunt was casually saying it, and it just worked so well. I was already kind of using this tool for writing that, you know, then became the idea of an alter ego. But it was just kind of like finding ways to get out of myself to get closer to what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. That's inside. An interesting thought.
Yeah, I know. It's very weird to think you got closer by like going away. But it's true. It did happen. And then it seemed like a, you know, this superhero, supernatural birth of an alter ego. So like what I was doing, this tool, and then this information coming in, it just seemed like that's what was supposed to happen.
So you did use the alter ego technique before when you wrote your own songs?
Well, just on this record.
Ah, okay,
it was just like to push boundaries. It happened from I was auditioning for movies, and it put me in a place of being uncomfortable again. And so when I came back to music, I had just opened another door.
Yeah.
So I just like, it felt different. I can't really explain it besides it just seemed exciting to...
Maybe it's because it's one of the techniques that you have to use as an actor as well, right?
Sure.
You have to bring your personality, but use your personality to become someone else and to really let people... you really have to get people to believe that you are this person, not Albert Hammond Jr. anymore.
Yeah, but what's so funny is while doing that, I became more Albert Hammond Jr. I feel like on stage... is like, it's the funny way we're talking about the impossible, is the impossible. It's me with the idea of me wanting to play music when I was a kid, except with the knowledge of having played years. So, you know, like a great record, but with this curiosity and innocence and spunk that you only have when you first start feeling emotions as a young adult.
The interesting thing is that I have in the back of my mind right now is that therapists once said that for people who are living a public life, who are musicians or actors, sometimes a little schizophrenic behavior is good. Having an alter ego or looking at Albert Hammond Jr. as an alter ego, who's the musician part of your personality. And they
I mean, you always do it even without doing it, right? So like,
but they said that it's good for your mental health.
Yeah,
because
but I'm saying
otherwise
naturally,
it would be like everything when people say about Albert Hammond Jr., you would take it too personally. You would kind of like...
No, you got to laugh at it a little bit.
You know? That's true.
But yeah, for sure. No, that's always there a little bit. What's funny, when I was a kid, I used to talk, I'm talking about like 2, 3, 4, I would talk in third person.
Okay.
I'd be like, the boy is going over there. My mom was just telling me the other day, so I thought that was funny that, you know, I was trying an alter ego out at 2 years old.
What I find interesting about the record is the fact that it's a pretty dark theme. I mean, leitmotif, dead brother. It's kind of like a hard thing to start off with. But it seems that you did have fun with all these songs. And I was thinking, like, maybe it was comforting to have that thought in the back of your head that you once have had a twin brother.
Well,
even though it was just for a few months in the belly of your mother.
I feel like all heroes' journeys start with some kind of dark, you know, thing. So it doesn't have to be, dark just because there's a part of it that, you know, a part that took it from me just talking about it as a tool. You know, this story helped develop the stage persona and the artwork, and so it became a much bigger thing. But with songs, you know, I don't really think about, you know, when you're writing music, you're just trying to do something that's great. So I'm not really thinking about anything else but that.
But when I was listening to the record and having the title of the record in the back of my head, I was singing another melody on top of it all, and that was "You Are Not Alone," because I was like, Albert Hammond Jr., he has always missed maybe a sibling or something, but now he knows that he once has had one, at least, you know, it was only for a few months. It must be kind of like a comforting thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's very weird to think about it. It can be a, you know, existential thought, is that, am I the one who died, you know?
Yeah.
And I just don't know it.
You can go deeply philosophical with the whole thing.
But yeah, it's the closest I've ever been with someone before I realized, the idea of existence, but...
Now you had this very personal topic, and you did work with other people for the first time on this record.
I did.
Jennifer DeCliveo and Mini Mansions' Tyler Parkford.
Yes.
And I read that it was kind of hard opening up in front of them.
I think the idea of writing, when my manager, I recorded 12 songs, right? And we finished 9, and there was 3 left that were just, I couldn't get. Songs were better than whatever I was coming up with. It needed something better. And he suggested to try to write, and it just seemed, you know, intimidating to do it. And I was always afraid of losing myself in that. And, but I did it anyways. And, I built 2 really great relationships with Tyler Parkford and Jen DeSilvio. They both, in different ways, they both, I'm excited to work with them again.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah. So you've built up some trust with those guys, or
cool. And like a rapport. I think the hardest thing is feeling comfortable enough in front of someone where you can make, you know, a lot of bad ideas, because I'm not a quick musician. I'm like, I know where I want it to go, but I make a lot of, you know, stuff where it's just like, oh, that's terrible and that's terrible, and then you know closer where you want to go. And so sometimes to be able to do that in front of a stranger can be intimidating.
Yeah.
Because you're still in the idea, like, performance.
There's a super nice analogy that I won't repeat on the radio that you had about that process.
Oh, right.
It's like having a one-night stand, but it's not like with the lights out, but it's with the lights on, and I won't tell about the rest, but it's a nice analogy, and it really made me think about how much you striptease in front of others when you write songs with them, right?
Yeah, for sure. And also just striptease. Like doing it, you're showing such a personal thing. I mean, your process can be so different to someone else. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can work together great, and sometimes it's, you know,
totally.
It's not.
Yeah.
But that it not working, or them or feeling like they, you know, think you're a joke, is kind of like the scary part of it.
Totally.
You know, like, oh God,
I've been super successful as a musician for 2 decades, and now
that only makes it worse.
The Mini Mansions people found out that I'm just pretending.
Hey man, I used to always write when I used to come into customs back to America. I used to write magician instead of musician, because I always thought I was fooling people.
Now let's listen to another song of the new record, Francis Trouble, Albert Hammond Jr. nochmal mit Muted Beatings auf dem Plattenteller. Das war die erste Single-Auskopplung. Wir reden dann nochmal ein bisschen darüber, ob dieses persönliche Thema denn auch mit der Familie besprochen worden ist oder nicht. Und wir verlosen Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Musik und Frieden. Albert Hammond Jr. Muted Beatings. Albert Hammond Jr. mit Muted Beatings auf Flux.
Sorry, you
FM.
Said so much last time that I was waiting. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, my intro was longer last time. Now we're diving right back into it. We've talked about the personal topic that's at the base of your record. And I was wondering, did you talk about the record or the idea behind the record with your family a lot? Because, I mean, the more... I think the more traumatic event happened to your mom.
Yeah,
way back
I would
then,
say
right?
that too. Yeah, because for me, it's like I told you, it was more of a catalyst for the hero's journey, mm-hmm. and less of whatever my mom felt. I did talk to her about with my mom. I can't imagine what that was like, especially since they told her that she had lost the baby. Not that she had twins. She didn't even know.
Oh, wow.
When it first happened, and then a few weeks later, and she kept on saying she felt weird, and they were just like, it's like a phantom.
No.
And like, you're going to feel that
so
way.
So you
for
were
a while.
Like a kind of a surprise.
I was hidden. I
what?
Was just like, I was stuck to the walls. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a funny picture.
So I glued
though.
Myself. Yeah, it is a funny photo. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, she'll tell me, and then she'll start to tell me about it, but I don't, I'll tell her, I don't need more like, information. I just would whatever the spark was enough for me yeah. to go with where I'm going for this part yeah, of the story. Cool. For me to know, like, oh, she was like, oh, it was going to be called something, and I was like, oh, it doesn't matter.
I'll call him Francis.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Francis Trouble was just a name that I had. I had built up over the years. I was talking to my dog, and I had this song about trouble for my dog, and then I liked the idea of like I produced with. The guy who produced my record, other bands, and it's under Trouble Productions.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so then I had, like, I was Francis Trouble of Trouble Productions, and then it just seemed so perfect for this alter ego.
Yeah.
See, he just seemed like a fun person.
No, that's there are many full circles you know? Happening
yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
once.
Yeah, no.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then what about your father, who's a talented songwriter?
Yes, he is.
Quite talented songwriter as well. Do you discuss music with him at all, or?
I mean, I have. I'm 38 now, so I feel like so much time has... In that question, I feel like there's so many moments in my life. But yeah, I've discussed many things mm-hmm. with him. I feel like early on, it was definitely a discipline he taught me mm-hmm. with music and a work ethic, which I appreciate very much. And now, if I was to talk to him now, I'm more excited just to speak to my dad
cool.
more than music.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Cool.
I guess more of like a man.
Yeah. No, I think it's really cool because there's people out there who have like famous fathers or famous mothers and they really struggle to get out of their shadows. And I think
Especially with the same name.
Yeah. But what you seem to have, it seems really healthy relationship.
Well, I think that was a conscious decision when I kind of subconscious and conscious, when I fell in love with music, it felt very different. Like I never thought, oh, that's what my dad did. I thought it was going to be something else, and then I fell in love with music, and it just became my own thing. So I always tried to keep it separate. I had to carve out of. I'm a junior, and I'm in a band. So I feel like I had to really. It's kind of funny that I ended up being an alter ego because I was like,
yeah, that's true.
I really needed to carve a little space for me.
Yeah, but I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
That you do look forward to meeting your dad the next time and to talk to him as a dad, simply.
Yeah, I mean just... that's my favorite.
Yeah.
You know, because it's also nice to separate yourself from, you know, you just really ground yourself and take yourself away from what you do, and because you're not what you do. That's just a part of your life,
true.
A part of many things, and. And when you separate it, you really get to enjoy life, I think, a little more.
There are so many insights. When I was listening to you, that you have so many insights that are really, I think I have to mention Andrew Park as well, because you've worked with him. He's a therapist, I guess.
I dedicated the record to him.
Yeah, he dedicated the record to him.
Yeah, well,
he was super important for you in the last years, right?
Yes,
he died, I think, two years ago.
He did die, yeah. He's even more than a therapist, because a therapist sounds like someone you know, it's good, but he became like a father figure and like a second one, in the sense that there's so many, your growth is so stunted when, you know, from the abuse of drinking and drugs, you know? So it's like you relearn stuff, and he was the man in my life then. He was like my mentor. So funny enough, his passing was like a hero's journey as well. It was like he would always tell me, he's like, one day it'll be your turn to go. And he called it going and slaying the dragon, you know, like myth.
Karate Kid style.
And I just never, yeah, exactly. I was always like, no, you'll always, you know, everything felt a little safer and better with him in the picture. But everything he taught me has only become more solid in his passing.
Cool. That's a nice story as well.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting and good to know for people out there who maybe struggling with problems, with drug problems maybe as well.
Well, that's
good to
why
know
I always
that
talk about
there's
it.
There's tools out there. People knowing those tools, and they can hand it to you. And then
tools
make
are,
your
that's
life.
A key.
Yes.
Tools are very, because you're basically building reference points for yourselves, because you're going to be going up and down in life anyway.
Sure.
Forget even problems. And if you have the tools to build reference points, you can kind of foresee getting out of stuff.
Even
in the darkness, you know where the light will come from.
Yeah, it's like if you've used the roller coaster before, you know that there's parts where it's going up again.
Sure, exactly.
And you can look forward
to
them.
It's so hard to forget. It's hard to remember, though, when it's going a different direction.
Totally. there's one thing I want to talk to you about your past, because you did breakthrough with the Strokes in 2001.
I did,
it happened really, really sudden, I think.
Yes.
People weren't expecting it to go that fast. And when you look back at those, because people always say having success can be a curse and a blessing. And when you look back at those years.
Well, I mean, they say that it's like yin and yang exists.
Yeah.
Light and dark exists in everything. You know, with you know, great success will come the other negative side to it. You always, where there's a positive, there's got to be the negative. It's the same thing on a show. You have a great show and it takes you to a new place. You will then feel the low part of that later at some point, you know, so you have to understand the balance. But you never get to pick success. So it's like it's a strange thing to, it's never a complaint. It's more of an understanding so that you can take it in better.
Yeah.
Because I think when it first happens, you don't know how to take it in. It's just like,
I mean that's an existentialist thing to say, but I think you do have control as a person about the fact if it's a curse or a blessing, because I mean you've worked with a therapist, you've stopped taking drugs, and now all the success
and
that you had with the Strokes is it's a blessing because you can work
course,
as a musician.
Of course.
But if you would have continued with
or would have died, then it would have been a curse. But also I've never been as creative as I am right now, because it's a mixture of the, you know, curiosity I have now and the knowledge I have, which before was just more innocence and innocence and destruction, which is good too for its
sounds
own.
Like a
which is own
Roses record.
Yeah, yeah. Just writing. I'm writing their records right now, I don't know. I don't know what I was saying.
No.
It's like a hot box in here.
Yeah, that's totally true.
Like a sauna.
My mind isn't working anymore as well. But it's great that you're here still.
Yeah, no, it's
awesome.
I really
love it. No, but I was thinking about the fact that maybe there is a certain size for a band that you should go for, and you should not go beyond that, because then it's getting unhealthy again. And maybe it's nice in the financial way.
I know, but it's in the... That's the thing, though. It's in the... I don't know. I think that flows too. Like, definitely, I was opening up. I made this record with the idea of wanting to be in big venues. And I opened up for the Killers at the beginning before the album came out. And we played four arenas with them. And I never felt so at home when singing these new songs. I remember just being on stage and singing Set to Attack for the first time. And I was standing on different speakers and walking around. And I was like, oh man, like it just belongs here. It felt wonderful. So there's like, but I imagine, you know, you get there, and because I will get there, and then
you've
you're
heard
just
it first,
you know,
Flux FM.
And then you uh, you know, you think to yourself, like, oh, I need to find myself again. Like, yeah. You know, you've achieved something, and then you get confused by it.
Yeah, that's totally true. And I think when you have a healthy mind and a healthy way to deal with your own situation, your band can get as big as it can
for
be.
Sure.
Because you can deal with it then.
Sure, of course.
I think it's
There's
much
always going to be stuff.
Yeah, it's
no matter
more
what
dangerous
you do.
For a 20-year-old guy to be in a super successful band that's having success worldwide than for a guy who's in the end of his 30s
yeah.
and who's seen something.
That's definitely more. It's definitely more fun.
Yeah.
I get to really enjoy it a lot more.
Cool.
All the everything, the pluses and the minuses, but you realize that they're both exciting just because at the end of the day, you miss both. When you look back at time, you just miss life
That's
in true. General.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the record once again. And
thank you so much.
On the development that we've talked about.
Appreciate
it. And all the success for you as a person as well, not only a musician. I really respect that. I want to congratulate you on that. And I want to give away some tickets real quick for tonight's show. Albert Hammond Jr. spielt heute Abend im Musik und Frieden und stellt dort seine aktuelle vierte Soloplatte Francis Trouble nochmal vor. Vielen Dank. Thanks a lot again, Albert.
Thank you.
Say hi to the other guys from the band. And
I will.
To your father maybe as well.
I will.
Meet
I'll
again.
Say hello to everyone.
Yes, just say
you.
Hello to everyone from me. That's a nice thing. Thank you. Have good fun at tonight's show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.